Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, NovoEd is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, NovoEd taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with NovoEd to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the NovoEd Talks podcast, a place for training trailblazers to get real. I'm Lynn Christensen-Esker of NovoEd, and today I'm joined by Oscar R. Molina, a training manager at LHH Recruitment Solutions, the world's premier talent solutions provider. Oscar, welcome to NovoEd Talks.
Lynn, appreciate you having me on.
So glad to have you. Let's start off with a little bit about your background and your role at LHH. Like so many others, you didn't start in L&D. You were an attorney first. Tell us a little bit about how you found yourself as a highly respected training manager at a recruitment firm and what your legal background brings to your perspectives on learning.
Yeah, so LHH is a very unique, let's say, staffing agency, right? One of the things that we really strive is to bring in industry experts or those that already have that background in a said industry, not just in staffing, but we're talking like attorney first. Hey, we would want you to come in to sit and recruit for us attorneys that we can then place in a firm. So that is how I came to be part of LHH. I was an attorney first. I was practiced for about 4 or 5 years, and I wanted to take a risk. I wanted to take a leap of faith. One of the recruiters that I worked with before in the past, back then we were known as Parker and Lynch, her and I remained friends, and I just reached out to her like, hey, how is recruiting? Would you really make this jump again? Is this something that I should consider? And next thing you know, I'm part of LHH. First as an executive recruiter, now as a training manager, but we really strive to bring in those industry experts and then help them become the best possible recruiters or sales executives or talent attraction specialists in the industry.
So who are your learners, Lynn, and what are some of their biggest challenges?
So our learners can be our listener, right? It can be someone in their respective industry. They don't have to be there for quite long. They just have to have some understanding as into what it takes to be, let's say, an engineer or be an attorney, or be an accounting and finance individual or a professional. But they should have the drive and determination to essentially dive into sales. Those are our typical learners, right? It's not that they have to have sales experience to begin with. That's where we come in as training managers. That's where our program, New College Training, comes in. We empower these individuals to become sales professionals. And they bring in their own industry background and experience to help them thrive in the role.
So how does your team identify and address skill gaps, with your learners?
All right. So here's an interesting wrinkle for you. So 4 years ago today, that's when we started seeing COVID really take into effect, right? That's when we were in the stay at home, flatten the curve. But what also started happening too is LHH started seeing the need for a remote training program. So come 2021, February 2021 to be exact, we launched New College Training. And actually, I was part of the first class of that. So to where we are now to then, it's a huge difference, right? We've been able to identify certain gaps, right, within the remote training program. Because let's be honest, remote has a lot of pros and it has challenges. Not obstacles, because obstacles can be very difficult to overcome. Challenges are meant to be overcome. And so we are able to identify what works in a remote setting and what doesn't. We take every quarter of the year, we are taking a proactive look as into what we can change. So this version of new colleague training is not version one, it's not version 1.5, it's not version 1.8. It's probably on its like 38th iteration. One of the things that we do is we do active engagement. So if I'm teaching you, Lynn, how to connect with attorneys that are focusing on commercial litigation as a background, and that they want to make a lateral move to another firm, I'm trying to get your insight as into, hey, Lynn, why do you think that this specific background is important? How would you approach this talking point with the candidate? The more active we are, the more we make it a discussion as opposed to just a school-based program, the more that these colleagues are able to retain, the more that these colleagues are able to thrive. That is one thing that we are addressing in terms of any gaps. Remote work can make it difficult to understand certain concepts, but if we make it interactive, we make it more of a discussion, more will take it, more will absorb what we are all learning together and apply it.
I love what you said about challenges are meant to be overcome. That was kind of cool. I like that. So, how do you ensure that they're equipped with the necessary skills for that digital workplace that you're talking about?
So, hey, everyone's familiar with the training program with their respective industry, or anyone's familiar with the training program when they're starting a new job. What they're not familiar with is the fact that in LHH, we train, but we also give them the tools starting day one to actually be able to work. So, come day one, day two, we're expecting them to be on the phones. We're expecting them to be able to connect with candidates. We're expecting them to be able to connect with clients. And as we progress in the training program, we teach them new tools. We teach them how to navigate those difficult conversations with candidates and clients. And we're essentially guiding them and enforcing certain behaviors that we're learning probably in the morning session and then putting it into effect and practicing it in our afternoon session, right? Everyone wants to be able to become effective in the role quickly, and we are striving to provide them that confidence come day one.
Great. How do you measure your effectiveness?
Oh, so everyone's familiar with KPIs, key performance indicators. We use them quite a bit when it comes to our new colleagues, right? We want them to hit certain KPIs every week, every month, and we also have review periods. But for us ourselves, like what do we do in LHH to measure our effectiveness? What do we do as training managers, our effectiveness? Like I mentioned earlier, we do those quarterly assessments, but at the same time, we have to take our own self-inventory, right? We expect our colleagues to pause on Friday and assess how did this week go? Or pause at the end of the month, how did this month go? For us, we're also striving to do the same thing. How did this month go for us? How did this week go for us? You know what? Maybe this training shouldn't be on day one. Maybe it should be on day five, right? And that's important. That's important. That's why we've made so many changes to NCT. It's not because the program is deficient, it's more because in order to adapt, in order to continue to be the best agency when it comes to training our colleagues, hey, we need a self-inventory, right? We need to make changes to be better.
Oscar, do you have any successful case studies that you can share with us?
So this is going to be kind of a funny story in a way. So I came into this role as a training manager, I believe it was in May of 2022. In June or July of 2022, we were tasked with presenting the state of new college training to the executives. And each training manager had to present on their given vertical. Mine is in legal search. And I so happened to land the president of LHH, Lori Chamberlain. She's the one that asked me the question. And she asked me, hey, point blank, I appreciate the fact that our people are able to make placements, but is there any way that we can get them to make placements earlier? Right? Can we have them make placements by day 90, by day 60? My response to Lori Chamberlain, and this is purely true, and I've told her this myself, we've had conversations about this after, is getting a placement by day 90 is possible, but not practical. So that was in 2022. come 2023, and even already in this year, we're having our recruiters in the legal search vertical itself make placements by day 30 of starting in their role. Right? So how do we do that? It's all about the self-inventory. What can we do? How can we put them already in touch with their teammates that are in the field sooner? How can we provide them with these opportunities that they can help recruit on sooner as opposed to later? So not only are our colleagues changing lives outside of the field, but they're also changing their own lives. They're also having those wins earlier, and it's empowered them to continue to grow, continue to go. And for me personally, where most of my colleagues are former practicing attorneys, right? They gave up a lot. They gave a lot to join us. And for them to have those wins and to know that they made the right decision in their lives to join us, I wouldn't trade that for anything.
Going back to your challenges can be overcome. How did you overcome that challenge? That's cutting the time in a by a two-thirds.
Again, it really what I like to do, and this is what I did when I ran my desk, is I want to put myself in the candidate's shoes. I want to put myself in the client's shoes. And here, I want to put myself in the colleague's shoes. Okay. What can we do to make sure that I, the colleague, or what can new colleague training do to make sure that I, the colleague, have everything I need to get to that next step even sooner? Right. So that's the mentality that we have. And personally, I don't think that would be possible with it without like our leadership on top, Lori Chamberlain, Amy Schneider, and Sean Campbell, right? Sean Campbell is the VP of Colleague Learning. He's always looking into things of how we can improve the program. And that's what we're doing. We're looking into how other agencies may run their program. We're looking into how other agencies across the world may run their program, or looking into other ways of learning to really make that happen. For one, cutting it down to like a third of what it was, it meant to be, hey, maybe our one-on-ones shouldn't be just be 10 minutes. Maybe our one-on-ones shouldn't be 15. Maybe they should be 30 minutes plus. Maybe we should be able to make ourselves available much more than what we were making ourselves available before. Maybe we just need to incorporate more workshops and practices and role plays in our training. Those are all changes that we've made, and it's empowered them.
Does technology have any role in that, in what you do?
Yeah, right. So I mentioned we do our training remote. So technology is vitally important in everything that we do. Not only do we use Microsoft products like Teams, obviously Outlook, OneNote, but we recognize and accept the fact that not everyone is well versed in those technologies. So our trainings that we offer are not just based on how to be the best sales executive, how to be the best recruiter, how to be the best talent attraction specialist. It's also how to be the best tech user in utilizing that technology to your advantage. So technology is a vital role for it, and we're always looking to see how we can integrate new technology. In comes AI, right? How can we use AI to really assist our colleagues in getting out a candidate's profile quicker to a client? Right? If we don't utilize that technology into our repertoire, we're going to go extinct. We're going to go extinct. And we don't want that at all. We want to be able to make sure that we live by the motto that, hey, the quickest thing to do is, well, the best thing to do is to be quick. Recruiters, they operate on speed kills all deals, and we want to make sure we're first. Well, we can settle for second, but definitely not third. We want to be first.
You may have already just answered this, but we've seen such rapid evolution in L&D and well, everything else too. What are some of the key takeaways that you've seen? Maybe that's it. Maybe there's more.
Some of the rapid development that I've seen, obviously, has been more on the AI front, right? How can we utilize that technology to further enhance our trainings? How can we use that technology to equip our colleagues to make deals faster? And in reality, there's so much more to work out right there in the AI front. It's really interesting to see the ways that we can integrate it. I mean, I can draft a recruiting email today and I can say, you know what? I want to make it sound like Taylor Swift wrote this recruiting email. I want to make it seem like she wrote it based on Red, her album. and ways that we can incorporate that to reach colleagues that might sympathize with Taylor Swift and that in that album is fantastic. The future of learning and development is it starts with, personally, the way that I see it starts with our colleagues, right? Them having the ability and them being empowered to actually tell us, like, hey, Oscar, this part really works. I think you should revisit this. Or, hey, I noticed that LHH isn't covering this part. Or, hey, LHH really isn't covering AI all that much. Maybe we can incorporate that. So it's not just taking our own self-inventory, but also asking our colleagues to really share what they have experienced and for honest feedback, and ensuring an environment that we can accept honest feedback. That's going to really drive learning and development maybe further.
So the future, going back to that, for L&D, besides the technology,
Yeah.
you see L&D changing over the next 5 years? And if so, how?
So I see L&D changing in the next 5 years. You know, if you would have asked this question in 2019, I'm pretty sure that response would be different than what you can ask that question now. I am eager to see what L&D is going to even look like in 2, 3 months. I really am. So do I see it changing? Yes, not by much, right? Not by much. It could be more, it could be a greater focus or continued focus on, like, what can we do to empower those that are in learning and development programs to get to where they need to be. And we're going to keep on getting it. We're going to keep on taking those steps. For those that have not ventured into that yet, those steps are going to be far greater. Maybe we need to integrate technology more. Maybe we need to integrate AI. Maybe we need to integrate other systems in place. But I personally think we are in a very solid place, at least here in LHH, when it comes to learning and development. Now, check back with me in 3 months, and maybe we have another update as into how we're operating things.
For sure. So as a final kind of fun question,
Yeah.
having come in from the way that you have, from a different career and kind of made that change, there are a lot of people who are making that change right now. I can see
Yeah,
it.
there are.
What advice would you give them as they
Oh,
the profession?
yeah. So, speaking of anyone just changing careers as a whole or changing industry as a whole, one of the things that stands out to me is you have to be resilient. You have to be resilient, right? Because this is a completely new thing for you. So, you have to be resilient as into the challenges you may face and understand that you may not have the background and experience for it just yet, and you're learning. Right? You'll get there. One day you'll be the expert. One day you'll be the leader. One day you might even be the training manager. Right? One day you'll be part of the learning and development group. So be resilient. Another thing is be kind to yourself. One of the things that I noticed quite a bit working with attorneys is that they're not kind to themselves. They think because they had one setback, they are a failure. In reality, going to law school involves 3 years in. To get your Juris Doctor degree, maybe you already practice. So you have this ingrained mentality and belief of how to operate. You have so much education that it prepares you to become an attorney. For some industries, that can be a 2-week program. Learning how to become a recruiter can be a 2-week program, or it can be 90 days, or it can be 120 days. But it's not an undergrad degree, it is not a professional degree. So being kind to yourself, knowing that you still have a lot to grow or you have a lot to learn is vitally important. So those are my takeaways or what I would hope that someone that's looking to make a career change, looking to make a just industry change can take away and can really focus on. Be kind and be resilient.
It's beautiful. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for your time today, Oscar. Your perspectives have been great, and it's really interesting to hear, how you've come into the profession and are seeing it for what it is. Thanks to everyone for joining us for this episode, and see you next time on the Novo Ed Talks podcast.
Thanks, Lynn.